When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, you're getting an early episode release surprise. I'm so excited to put this one out. I am not doing a Flashback Friday episode this week. I'm skipping it for now because I am doing an episode that would have been on a Monday, now today on a Thursday, because I want this to be timely and relevant, because we're talking about Love Island and it just ended on Sunday, so I don't want to go too far out with this episode. So it's going to replace an upcoming Monday episode. We will be skipping August 19th, so I'm not going to have an episode out at that time, and then we will be following up when I come back from Italy, August 26th. That will probably be an Italy recap episode. So you pretty much have August covered, because I'm always going to have the Flashback Fridays. I'm going to have the Monday episodes with the exception of August 19th. But yeah, now we're getting a little bonus episode to discuss and break down Love Island. And I want to get into all of it, not just like an overall recap of, you know, the finale or something. I want to recap everything. I want to talk about the relationships, the people, you know, their character, whatever you want to call them, like whoever these people are. We need to talk about them because they're like, I feel like people were calling them their Sims. They're like, I wish I could check on my Sims and see what they're doing today. It was just such an iconic season, and there were so many red flags and green flags and good things and bad things and all the above. So I want to talk about it, and I really just want to get into everything right off the bat. So let's dive straight into the Leah of it all. Okay, let me see actually as I record this episode where she's at in following, because I've never seen something like this. She is at 1.7 million followers. Leah will probably be at 2 million followers by the time that this actual episode comes out. I kid you not. I've never seen people go so crazy over like a person from a reality show so quickly. We have not seen growth like this in like Instagram following since I feel like the stages of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, when it was like JoJo Fletcher, Hannah Brown, Caitlin Bristow. I went to call her Kristen. Caitlin Bristow, like that era. We haven't seen it since then, especially not at this rate. So I feel like everyone is obsessing over Leah. And the thing is, it's like, I can understand why, even if I don't necessarily feel the same way myself, because this was the only issue that I had with this season was honestly my age. I felt like I didn't get emotionally invested into any one person, because I think back to when I was watching season 5 of Love Island UK, I'll never forget it. By far the most elite season of Love Island that I've ever seen. I was so much younger. I was maybe 24. And I feel like because I was so young and they were all like 22, 21, whatever, like they were young too, I felt like I loved them. I could see myself in them. I loved Maura's personality. That kind of reminded me a little bit of myself. I loved Molly Mae, like Tommy, that whole lore of Molly Mae and Tommy, like I loved it. And now, as much as I loved this season, I think because I am 29 and I'm watching them thinking like, oh my God, they're so young, they're so immature, that I don't necessarily stand the way that others do. but I understand where people are coming from with the love of Leah, because I think she was the most real and everyone could really see themselves in her. I think everyone is really undermining her at the same time by wanting her to be with Rob. Let's talk about that, because we are literally witnessing people romanticize and like fetishize, I think that's how you say it, like just glorifying an unhealthy and an unhappy dynamic. Like, yes, she really, really liked Rob in the beginning, but guess what? He picked another woman over her. It's that simple. He did not pick her. So why is everybody going so crazy about wanting to see Leah with Rob? There's this like romanticizing happening, and this is what happens in real life relationships, which is why I think people are so obsessed with the dynamic. It's because like they want to see this trope of like lovers to enemies, back to lovers, whatever. Like they want to see the original cute couple like get back together just based on those few cute memories they had. Keep in mind, they were only together for, what was it, a week or two? So even though for us, we're like, you know, as viewers, it's like, oh my God, but like they were together the whole like beginning and blah, blah, blah. Like in the grand scheme of life, it's only what, 14 days of your life? There's not much there. Think about the real world, talking to someone for 2 weeks. Think about that. Going on a few dates, hanging out with someone, talking to someone for 2 weeks. Would you be that hung up on it for the rest of your life? Would you be carrying on and on and on about it for that long? No, you wouldn't. So to me, it's like so crazy, because I feel like people are really glamorizing this as if they had something so huge and so deep and so special, and they didn't. I just think that they clicked, and then the second he clicked with someone else a little better, he dumped her. And that's what happens in real life. Like, you can't even like knock Rob for that. Like, granted, I don't like Rob. I think of him as manipulative. I think that he sees himself as a victim and he wants people to feel bad for him and have this like, woe is me energy about him. And I don't like that. He is not giving masculine. Can you guys imagine Rob like providing for a woman? Because I can't. Not in those overalls. Like, I don't see it happening. I don't think that he has it in him to give Leah what she actually needs in the real world. And I don't know for sure if Miguel does either. Like, I can't fully get a gauge on him. I do think that he really, really likes her, and I think that he values her a lot more than Rob did. So let's start there. In the very least, he emotionally provides for her way better than Rob. So when I see people like glamorizing that relationship, I'm like, what about it? At the drop of a hat, he left Leah just because what? Somebody came in that I guess he found sexier, which is like, okay, you're comparing apples and oranges. The two of them are absolutely beautiful and one doesn't take away from the other. Like, I thought that was so weird when he randomly brought up like, we don't have a sexual flow. Like, he said something like that as if they don't have a good sexual connection. The vibes are off. And I was just like, what? Like, I feel like they were there until another girl came in that maybe is more your type. Like, I don't know. Like, but it is funny because seeing Rob do all of his interviews now, like, he did an interview on After Sun. He's coming out with an interview on Call Her Daddy. And from what I heard him say on After Sun, and from what I heard him say on Call Her Daddy, it seems like he's already over Andrea too. Like, he's already back into like the Leah, you know, wave. So I don't know. I just feel like he's a wishy-washy guy and not giving masculine energy. He's not giving like, I know what I want, I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to fight for it. We even witnessed that happen like throughout toward the end, because he clearly did still feel something with Leah, but was not willing to fight for it. Obviously, we witnessed it as soon as he got eliminated. I mean, we knew that it was like building up, but then when he got eliminated, what did he say? There's something I have to do. And what was it that he had to do? He went and took Leah and went to the balcony or whatever and expressed like certain feelings for her. And like, granted, yeah, it was a very cute scene. I'm not gonna lie. I shed a few tears. I really was crying. My man was full blown snoring next to me. I'm like, you are killing my vibe. Like, please just stop. But in any case, you know, I did, like, I was like, oh my God, this is so sad. Like, it pulled at my, tugged at my heartstrings. But at the same time, the second that it's over and I'm like, all right, tears out, like, tears done, snapping out of it, he didn't fight for her. He was just letting her know, like, you know what, maybe, like, I kind of fucked up or whatever his message was. And that was it. Like, just accepting it. And I feel like that's not a man who's meant for her. Whereas someone like Miguel, who, again, I can't fully get a gauge on him, because there were a few things that he said and did that I think struck me as a little questionable. He seemed like the type who doesn't really like to pursue, at least in the beginning. Like, he didn't seem like the type who enjoyed pursuing. He enjoyed being pursued. I'm also not a huge fan of the fact that he has a devil tattoo in the middle of his chest. I think that tells me a lot about somebody's morals. I know tattoos are, like, considered art and whatnot, but I am not into devil art at all. Never was, never will be. And so that aspect maybe rubs me the wrong way about him. Like, I just feel like I don't really know what his morals and values are. I don't think anybody, I don't care if you're a freaking atheist. I don't care if you're not religious. I don't care if you're not spiritual, but to glorify the devil and have, like, satanic art on your body, to me, a little questionable. But with that being said, yeah, like, there were a few times where I was like, I don't know how masculine he is either. And I do feel like I could see Leah with such a masculine man. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I could see them not working out when the show ends, even though, like, I would like for them to, because I do think he ended up being really protective of her, really caring of her. Seeing him get, like, emotional and seeing him, like, cry, like, during the movie night and cry during the finale, I liked that. I liked seeing that emotional side of him and knowing, like, okay, I think that he's just tough to crack. And, like, once you do crack him, like, that softer side comes out. So I really do like that. But I see Leah leaving now, like, the villa, getting into the real world and having full-blown men. I'm talking celebrities. I'm talking, like, high, you know, high-quality people getting into her DMs and, like, dying to take her out. Like, I just totally see it happening. And I also can't see her denying those opportunities for a man who lives in the UK. That's always, like, my question of why they do Love Island USA and bring people from different countries. Because if you're from the UK, if you're from Australia, if you're from wherever, South Africa, why are you coming to Love Island USA unless you have full intentions on moving to where that person that you end up with lives? Because I was reading his Rolling Stone, Miguel did a Rolling Stone interview, and he was, like, talking about what their future plans are. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to go to LA and, like, do stuff with her, and then she's going to come to the UK and do stuff with me. And granted, like, if they lived in different states, even that in itself is, you know, hard. That's a lot to deal with. But at least it would only be a couple of hours away, as opposed to now living in different countries, different continents at that. You know, like, I don't know what the plan is, so I don't know how well it could work out. Listen, I do hope for the best for them, but I just wish that, like, Love Island USA would stop bringing people from other countries. I don't know, I find that weird. But in any case, I do see Leah not ending up with Rob, not ending up with Miguel, because I think she is just getting started. Like, I think this is just the beginning of the Leah lore. I think she was introduced to us on Love Island, but that's not gonna be, like, what she stays known for. I feel like a lot of people were comparing her to Maria from The Bachelor, but we didn't see anything come of that. She did gain a decent following, but not that sort of following. She gained, like, the most followers of her season, but I don't even think that that's a million followers. Like, I don't think that she even has half of the following that Leah has at this point. And she didn't go too far with it. She did one Call Her Daddy interview and then left it at that. She hasn't really been too active in other ways. And I feel like if Leah is smart and does it right, she can have real, like, long-term sustainable celebrity status after this. I just think that there's a lot more to come. So I don't know, that whole situation to me is just two boys and one woman. Maybe Miguel is more of a man than I see. I really don't dislike him. I'm way more team Miguel than I am Rob. But yeah, I don't know, like I said, I think that they are that she is, I should say. I think that she is out of their league. And I also just don't really like Rob in general, like for anyone, like even the whole thing with every other girl that he was with. Like, I find him to be really passive and really dismissive. The way that he was with Daniela, first of all, it had me questionable for, you know, like questioning Daniela in general, when Daniela kept saying like she's really happy where things are going with Rob. She feels like they really like each other. She kept saying she feels like he really listens. And I think that she was mixing up and confusing his silence for him listening. Just because he wasn't responding, I think that she thought he was like such a deep listener and a deep thinker. But if you actually watch the scene, like the scenes of them talking, he is so disassociated. He is so disconnected. He's not even making eye contact with her. He's not even looking at her. He's not even like actively engaged in the conversation. He's just sitting there. She would be like on his lap in his face and his eyes would be in a completely different direction. So I don't know why, like where she got that from. Granted, we don't see everything. And if anyone knows that, I do. So maybe that's the fact of the matter, is that we just don't see the bond that they had. But I really don't see the bond that they had. Quite frankly, I think that he brought Daniela back to like stir up some drama. I think that producers definitely wanted Daniela to come back because of the whole Aaron and Kayla thing. And they didn't want that to be like the end of it. They didn't want it to just be like a Casa thing and stay in Casa. I think they wanted to drag it out. I do think that Rob is a bit of a producer plant. Granted, he already has experience with these producers because he was on it last year. So I think he has a little bit more of like a connection with the producers. And I could be wrong. This could all just be a conspiracy theory. But I am almost positive that bringing Daniela back was more for the producers than it was for Rob. Because Rob did not seem like he cared at all. Of course, Daniela is beautiful. But I didn't see Rob fully click with anyone. I mean, even with Cassie, like, another beautiful girl that came his way. Same thing, like, they sat together on After Sun. You know, they left the show together, so they were sitting together in their interview, and he was talking about having feelings for Leah. And Cassie was just, like, full-blown sitting next to him, looking at him, like, awkwardly, as if they weren't just having sex 2 days before that. Like, he literally met Cassie and had sex with her, I believe, the first night. Or maybe the second night, but granted, right away. Night one or night two with this girl. So if that tells you anything, it tells you how little he cares about anyone or anything. Like, he just, at that point, was just there for a good time and was just, like, riding it out until he left. I think if he ever, at any point in the show, was going to make moves based on what he really cared about, he would have left with Andrea. But clearly, he did not leave with her. And I think after that, he didn't care about anything and was just kind of going with the flow. So I think that the way girls feel about Rob is based on, like, his looks and based on him being cute. And they like that, like, cool guy, don't give a fuck type of energy. But at the end of the day, Rob was not pursuing anyone. He only pursued Leah and then Andrea. After that, he didn't care about anybody. He was not giving anybody true romantic energy, I think. With Cassie and Daniela and even Liv, it was really like friend vibes. And granted, maybe he was attracted to these women because they were beautiful. So he was trying to have like conversations to see how he felt. But none of them really had true chemistry. And I'm not talking like, you know, if people are like, what do you mean not romantic vibes? He slept with Cassie. That doesn't mean anything, especially for a guy. It means absolutely nothing. He was there for all these weeks without having sex. I'm sure it was very easy for him to say, you know what? Let me just do it. Let me just get it out of my system. And that has nothing to do with the feelings that he has for Cassie. Or should I say lack thereof. I don't think anything is going to come of him and Cassie. I don't think anything would ever have come of him and Daniela. I don't think anything would have ever come of him and Liv. Because what? Liv is going to move to America for him? Like, yeah, okay. After being in Australia, she's going to move for the snake wrangler, whatever it's called. No, just simply not going to happen.
Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If there is any love story that I could have seen happening for Rob, it would have been the one with Aaron. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Aaron, Daniela, Kaylor, Rob, this whole dynamic. First of all, I love seeing all of the interviews that are coming out over the past couple of days since the finale, because everyone is saying like the whole same thing about Aaron and Kaylor. Everyone is like, if she watches it back, she won't be with him. We were all saying that they shouldn't be. Like, everyone is in alignment with that. And yet, here we have Kaylor riding for this man. It is interesting watching what they do in real life when they get their phones back and whatnot, because Kaylor is legit. You guys know that audio on TikTok that's like, yeah, that's mine, and I'm gonna stick beside him. That's literally Kaylor. Like, that's my man, and I'm gonna stick beside him. And I'm gonna look dumb AF doing it. Like, I could just tell she doesn't care. Also, let's talk about how dumb AF they are in general, for the fact that Aaron legit put up a story talking to the camera. He's like, oh guys, I'm gonna do a Q&A, whatever. And in the background of the story, you hear Kaylor on the phone with someone talking shit about Leah. The person on the phone, who we can't tell who it is, but the person on the phone legit says, no one's going to give a fuck about Leah in 6 months. And then Kaylor responds and she's like, yeah, but she's going to get a shit ton of brand deals, or a shit ton of deals. Maybe she didn't say the word brand, but she says she's going to get a shit ton of deals, I think. So like, you're talking shit about Leah in the background of Aaron's story. Aaron is so clueless. Like, these people, like the two of them are just, they might honestly be a perfect match. They might honestly be two peas in a pod. But let's talk again how I mentioned Rob disassociating in conversations about that. That is Aaron with Kaylor to a T. Kaylor talks to him, cries to him, screams at him, pours her heart out to him. And that man
is sitting there with his American doll looking face, with his little buck teeth sticking out, whatever it is that he's doing, with his eyes flickering and looking in every which direction aside from Kaler's face. He will never look Kaler in the eyes. She's turned to him, talking to him, and his head is turned the other way. I don't know if he's just so uninterested in her that he is so disassociated from every conversation they've ever had, or if he is just so in love with Rob that his eyes are always looking to see where Rob is at. He just always wants to make sure he could get his eyes on Rob. I don't know what the case is, but it is weird. There was no point in time where Aaron gave Kaler the same energy that he gave Rob. The second that the girl sent Andrea home and Rob was like gonna leave and whatever, Aaron jumped out of his seat in hysterics, bawling, crying, hugging him, begging him not to go, telling him how much he loves him, all these things. When Kaler, like when this whole stuff happened with Kaler and he was at risk of losing Kaler, nothing. Defending himself, gaslighting, manipulating, lying, getting super defensive, storming off, being angry, telling her, like, you either need to get over this or get over me. What? Like, where was that emotional energy? He did not shed a single tear for Kaler. Not to mention there was another time where Rob almost went home and they ended up saving him or whatever. It was when Cassie ended up saving Rob. And Aaron was on the verge of tears, so nervous, could not breathe. And then the second that Rob got picked, he jumped up out of his seat celebrating. Or when they all got sent home, Kaler, Aaron, Rob, whatever, all of them got sent home, who did he celebrate with? Not Kaler. He was celebrating with Rob. He said, at least we get to leave together. Actually, dude, you're not leaving with Rob. You're leaving with Kaler. Rob is just so happened to be leaving at the same time. But he's not leaving with you. He's leaving with Cassie. Kaler is leaving with you. Are you aware that you are in a couple with Kaler? Are you aware that you asked Kaler to be your girlfriend? Not Rob. Kaler. He was actually talking about with Rob that he was the best part of his experience, that he can't wait to meet his family, that he's so happy that they're leaving together. We came together, we're leaving together. Actually, yet again, you were with Kaler from day one. So you started with Kaler and you're leaving with Kaler. Like, are you there? Are you forgetting? And now let's throw Daniela into the mix. Let me just say something. I think this was Aaron's first exposure to good-looking women giving him attention. Because the second that he knew he had a chance with Daniela, that man did not waste 1 minute going for it. And even though he was all this talk of like, I don't want to hurt Kaler, I don't want to upset anybody, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, he had no sense of self-control, no sense of discipline. Why? Only a guy who's never had access to hot women acts like that. Only a guy who thinks with his you-know-what acts like that. If this was a man who actually really valued the woman that he's seeing and actually really liked her, he would have been smart about this whole like connection testing thing, because these people think, oh, I need to test my relationship means I need to make out with and do everything with this person. No. What you could do is simply have a conversation, see how compatible you are, see how much you align, and you could still be wildly attracted to somebody, but have a little bit of self-composure, a little bit of mental discipline, and be able to not make out with that person because you're not trying to disrespect the other person that you are building something with. So they could have had conversations, they could have done plenty of other things that would have been a matter of testing the connection. However, he felt such a pull to this woman that he could not keep his hands or his lips off of her. And his defense or whatever was, it's what I wanted to do. It's my experience. We're all here to experience things. We're all here to test things. Well, then why don't you see everybody doing that? Why didn't Kaler do that? Why didn't Leah do that? Why wasn't everybody going crazy? Even Rob, the guy who literally brought Daniela back, didn't make out with her like that, didn't act like a savage like that. It's called having some chill, that of which Aaron does not own. And I honest and truly think that he is a walking red flag. I think Kaylor needs to leave him, but she probably won't for a very long time. And then when she finally does, I think he needs to do a lot of growing, maturing, and working on himself before he even dares to get into another relationship. He is still in that energy of like boys and like, yeah, it's like the boys. Like he gives like frat party energy. What do you call it? Like that party. Like he just gives like frat energy. Like I could see him living in a frat right now, even though he's well above college age. He's giving like, I still have my Saturdays are for the boys banner, like tapestry in my bedroom vibes, you know? Like that's the energy that I'm getting from Aaron, is that he just wants like a fun boys night, fun weekend. Like he probably posts pictures on his Instagram at the bar with his friends with the caption like, last night was a movie. You know what I mean? He's ultimately giving corny, immature, indecisive, unable to commit, manipulative, same as Rob. Like, I don't know what's with these guys that were cast on this season being able to turn their faults around, now becoming like a you thing. Like with Rob, he was the one who screwed over Leah. And then when Leah was questioning him about it and, you know, talking to him about like expressing herself and whatever, he managed to turn it around and make it like, what about me? Why don't you ask me about how I'm feeling? What about my feelings? He made a whole song and dance show, crying, jumping in the pool, turning it around to now Leah being the bad guy. And because Leah, she was hurt and she was expressing herself, it's like, all you do is talk about you. What about me? How about how I'm feeling? I'm in pain. Like, huh? We're only in the situation because of you. Same with Aaron and Kaylor. He managed to actually raise his voice at Kaylor. He managed to flip the script and act like as if she should be doing something. Like, all these different things. How? We're in this situation because of you. So now yelling at me and telling me like, I need to get over it or whatever the case is. If we don't get over this, like you're never going to have trust. And without trust, you have nothing. Like, okay, we're in this situation because of you. So what are you going to do to make it up to me? Quite frankly, we didn't witness him do anything to make it up for her. He made a little plate of food and put a little like dinner together on a chair and asked her to be his girlfriend and told her that he loved her. None of that was an example of him making up to her what he did. It was simply an example of love bombing. And it was in the purest form. I've never seen anything like it. He did her so wrong. He had her crying so much that her eyes and face was so swollen. She looked crazy because of him. And instead of healing the relationship and fixing the issue, he told her he loved her and he asked her to be his girlfriend. And like a woman with low standards would, she accepted and told her that she loved him too. I was like, are we like watching the same, like are we seeing what's happening here? Obviously Kaylor wasn't, because what I was seeing and then what she was seeing had to be two different things. Because you love this man, you want to be in a committed relationship with this man, you want to be his girlfriend? Huh? I've never seen a better played out example of gaslighting, manipulation, and love bombing than I did when I saw Kaylor stand by that fire pit, tell him she's single, tell him she's never gonna be with him, tell him that he lost his chance, all this stuff. She was like such a strong, badass woman, to then 2 hours later sleeping in soul ties with him. She didn't even sleep in the house, in her own bed, which she made the decision to do. Like, she should have been able to sleep in her bed because she chose, you know, to be single and whatever, and that would have been that. But no, in a matter of 2 hours, she was cuddling with him outside, sacrificing herself after putting on a whole show about, I'm done with you. I could not believe what I was witnessing. And it is funny because I feel like if we would have seen Leah do this, I would feel that same way. But like, everyone wanted Leah to get back with Rob. Like, I don't know if you're following or going with this. Leah could have gotten back with Rob, say that Rob turned around and like wanted her back after he screwed her over, and everyone would have loved it and enjoyed that. But I think I would have felt the way that I feel about Kaylor. But then everyone feels this way about Kaler. So that's where the confusion comes into play. Because everyone's like, what's wrong with Kaler? You're a dumbass getting back with him. But everyone wanted to see Leah get back with Rob after he chose another girl over her and like everything that he did to her. But for me, it's all about, that's all cut from the same cloth. These are two guys that screwed over two girls, and neither girl should have gotten back with either guy. So I guess I don't really know why people fantasize about the Rob and Leah. Maybe people just dislike Aaron and Kaler as people, so that's why it doesn't work. To be honest, I feel that way. I really don't like either. I mean, but I also don't like Rob. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm really not crazy about any of these people, but I'm thinking maybe people just don't like Aaron and Kaler as people at all, period, and therefore that's why they don't romanticize their situation. Because if anything, I feel like Kaler's dynamic was also relatable. Like, the way that everyone keeps saying, I see myself in Leah, that's so relatable, getting back and blah, blah, blah. Isn't that the same situation as Aaron and Kaler? Someone let me know what makes it different. I don't know. For me, I truly don't care who you are, what your personality is like, what you look like. I never want to see a woman getting back with a guy who treats her like that. Anybody, ever. So hopefully the whole like Leah and Rob obsession is over, and also no one ever had an interest in Aaron and Kaler being together, so I'm sure that will just continue. I don't know what they're going to do with social media because it's been really bad. It's been really rough. But yeah, that dynamic was just really toxic, really terrible. And I think that they would have gone home much earlier if Love Island did things truly based on pure voting. I feel like they were always voted as the bottom couple, but Love Island wanted to keep them in for this drama. The Daniela, the crying, the whole thing. They wanted that to keep things going. And so every time that they were in the bottom, they kept finding a way to somehow save them by making like Islanders vote or whatever. And so finally, when like they just simply did not have a choice and they were never going to be in the top four, they had to let them go. And so I'm like, thank God they were not in the top four. I was very, very, very satisfied with the top four. You know what? I don't even really have much to say about Nicole and Kendall. In the beginning, I liked them, I think, the most as a couple because I felt like they were the most, like, level-headed. But then toward the end, I don't know, they started to, like, rub me the wrong way. Maybe they're super, super, super genuine and that doesn't translate to me that well anymore. Like, in the beginning, I felt that way. But toward the end, things started just to feel off with the whole, like, I love you. And I don't know, like, to me, I started to feel like he is so much more into her than she is into him. That's how it translated to me, that I kind of stopped really liking their relationship. I also think that I read Kendall's energy as insecure, and I feel like Kendall is similar in a very different way, but similar to what I said about Aaron before, how when I was like, he couldn't control himself with Daniela, because I was like, what has he never had access to a beautiful woman before. This is how I feel about Kendall, but because I think Kendall is a much better guy than Aaron, and I think he has a lot more green flags than red flags like Aaron does, he handles it differently. Like, I think because Nicole was so beautiful and so his type and all of these things and just like perfect woman on paper for him, it brought out his insecurities more than anything, and he did not want to fuck it up. So I feel like he tried really hard to be perfect, and like, I don't know, I just felt like we saw a different Kendall in the beginning of the season versus in the end. Like, I think he is a really goofy guy. I think that that's always, like, naturally his energy, and I know that Nicole saw that too. But I don't know, I think in the beginning, he, like, let loose a little more, which we witnessed with Hannah. Then toward the end, I feel like he just really wanted to, like, Nicole to pick him, and he really wanted to be it's almost like when people say a girl is a pick-me. You know, when people are like, oh, she's such a pick-me. I feel like that's how Kendall got with Nicole. Like, in the beginning, we saw him having the upper hand with Hannah. And so even though I think he kind of liked Hannah, again, I think it goes back to wanting to be picked a little bit, even if he didn't fully, like, want to be with her. He just wanted her to want to be with him. We saw him have that upper hand and we saw him have that control. So he would just like hook up with her and be like raunchy and, like I said, let loose. And he kind of just like didn't really care because I feel like he didn't think he had anything to lose. But then with Nicole, it was a totally different energy because I just think he did not want to mess anything up. And so I don't know. I feel like maybe they are really genuine. I really don't think that they're like super fake. I don't think either one of them are toxic, bad. Like, I just don't see that. I just started to like lose my interest in them, I guess, a little bit. So I am glad that they got fourth. I do think that Miguel and Leah should have gotten third based on the relationships. Like, I feel like if it's a true vote based on the dynamic between the two partners, then Janae and Kenny should have been second place instead of Leah and Miguel. But to be completely honest with you, I'm surprised that that Leah and Miguel didn't win the whole thing just based on Leah alone. So I kind of knew that, obviously, at the end of the day, it's a voting game, so it is a popularity contest. I knew Leah was going to be top two. I honestly thought she might win just based on the whole, like, Leah Nation, but I am so happy that Serena and Cordell got first. And then, yeah, I do feel like Janae and Kenny should have gotten second, but whatever, it's okay. I'm happy that the big three, Janae, Serena, and Leah, were the top three. So I'm still fine with it. I am very happy with the placements either way.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Mess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So let's talk about those two relationships because we did not get into them at all. But mostly because I feel like with Janae and Kenny especially, I don't even have too much to say because I just feel like they're great. I feel like Janae had a tough time. And so she also did her big one at the fire pit the way that Kaylor did. But I think that was more of an ego rather than a genuine reaction to like being so truly hurt. Like, I don't think Kenny really, really hurt Janae when he hooked up with another girl and brought her back from Casa. I think Janae just did not want to take another L. Like she was saying, I just keep getting let down. I just keep taking L after L. And I feel like she wanted to just know, finally somebody picked me first. And I think it was valid. Let me also say, I am not invalidating her response because I would feel the same way. Like, who cares if you're afraid that I'm going to be with somebody else? Because I feel like that's what Kenny said. He's like, yeah, I honestly just assumed that she was going to be with somebody else. Who cares if you think that? Just take the risk and fight for me. Pick me. Like, every girl just wants to feel like you are their number one choice. No one would want to feel like, yeah, my man brought a girl back just in case I had somebody else. No, you want to feel like that man was so sure of you and so, like, into you and wanting to pursue you that he came back solo, without knowing at all. He came back solo thinking, yeah, she is beautiful. She is perfect. She probably is with another guy, but I still want to be with her anyway, so I'm going to come back on my own. So, granted, everything that she said is valid and understood because no one wants to feel like they're playing it safe. Every girl wants to feel like that guy would go for her, rain or shine. But I do think her reaction was based more on just like, no guy has picked me first. So now there's like this ego and that's why she was so upset. And I think that's why it makes sense why they got back together so quickly because they did not have the longevity in their relationship. They didn't have anything too serious. So I do think it was pretty fair for him to like, you know, test things out and bring somebody back. But I am so glad that it ended up working out because I love them together. I was hysterical crying at their date, reading their letters from their family. I was dying at their speeches to each other when she was speaking Spanish to him in the finale. Like, that was just so cute. I don't know if you girls know the movie Bridesmaids, but there's that scene where she's like speaking Spanish, like not really speaking Spanish. It's like the super, super white girl and she's like attempting to get some Spanish words out. And I saw like TikToks and memes of like a picture of that being like Janae in the finale of Love Island, and I was dying. I just thought it was so cute. It was such a sweet gesture, such a nice effort, and I just loved that. I love their bond. I love that he wears his heart on his sleeve. I love that he is so good with his words, even when he picked her at the fire pit, even way before the finale, and he gave that really amazing, like, proposal vibe speech. I just loved it. And those are two people I could really, really see working out, so I'm very happy for them. And then last but not least, Serena and Cordell. God, I love them. The fact that they showed up on day one, coupled up on day one, wearing matching lime green outfits, and then they ended the finale, winning the finale, in matching bright pink outfits, that was just everything to me. I made a story talking about that before it was even announced that they won. I was just like, what? Like, this is the cutest thing I think that I've ever seen. So I feel like they are a perfect pair. Serena really was pissing me off in the beginning, and Cordell was kind of like cornballing me out. Like, I felt like Cordell was really corny in the beginning. I felt like he was a dud. I felt like he had no game. So I was like, obviously Serena doesn't want to jump your bones. Like, you're giving her nothing to work with. I just felt like he had no depth to him. And maybe he just takes some time to, like, let his personality really shine and open up, because I felt like he really got, like, so, like, he just changed so much. I felt like he became a lot, like, smarter, more self-aware, more, like deeper. Like, I just felt like we got so much more out of him toward the end. So I was really happy about that. And Serena was stressing me out in the beginning. Like, let me tell you something. When Serena stepped off the little, like, dancing floor thing when they did that challenge, that was when I really had, like, a pivotal moment, turning point with their relationship. Because up until then, Cordell was not giving, like, man, you know? I was like, you know what? Serena's not going to be into him, whatever. But then I felt like they started getting closer, and they started having a lot of conversations about, like, her moving at a slower pace and her saying, like, you know, I'm just a slow burn. And then she stepped off the dance floor and left him there boogie-oogie-oogieing by himself, stressing out. And that was it. I started loving Cordell from that moment. I felt so bad. I was like, this man is being so patient with you. He is giving you everything you're asking for, everything that you're saying that you need and want. And you have the audacity to step off that dance floor. Like, girl, now you're the problem. So after that, I was like, you know what? I hope he finds someone in Casa. I really do, because he deserved better than that. And I felt like, yeah, granted, she was a slow burn and she wanted to take her time, but I don't think she had to play in his face like that. I don't think they needed to, like, you know, they legit just had a conversation right before that. And so I feel like that's why he expected her to stay on the dance floor with him, because I felt like they had just cleared things up and got to a good place with communication. And then turn it around to that night, and she made him feel so dumb, and oh my god, I was heartbroken. I felt so bad. I was, like, covering my mouth, like, like, I could not believe it. So I am glad that things ended up working out, but I did feel like him meeting someone in Casa was deserved, and he needed that. Do I think he could have gone about it differently? Yeah, but I do feel like he just needed something from someone. Like, I feel like Daya is more, like, not to say at fault, but it's more on her, I feel like, than anything. Because I feel like she made it so easy for him that for him, he's just like, why wouldn't I? I have this girl back at the villa who is, like I just said, playing in my face. She's not taking me seriously. She won't make out with me. She won't get deep with me. She won't progress with me. She won't commit to me. She just stepped off the dance floor thing, indicating that she's unhappy in her relationship. That was literally what it meant. It was, get off the dance floor if you're not happy in your relationship. So why wouldn't I go for it when this girl is, like, teasing me, tempting me, going for me, pursuing me, making it so clear to everybody that she wants me? Like, she made it so damn easy for him. Granted, I think she made it too easy because she was just dying for him to pick her. I heard about her, like, commenting Odell Beckham Jr., like, OBJ, okay, Cordell's brother, the famous football player. I did hear about her commenting his stuff and whatnot, so I don't know if it's 100% true or false, whatever the case is. Oh, yeah, they actually talked about it on the show. I forgot that that was part of a challenge. But yeah, I mean, I was seeing it offline and stuff. I don't know if it's true or not, but she didn't really necessarily put out those flames. She was like, yeah, I think that's Photoshopped. Like, you think? It either is or it isn't. Like, is it Photoshopped or is it not? Did you comment his post or did you not? So either way, like, I don't know. She was just giving desperate. And I think Cordell was getting desperate for some, like, female attention at that point. So I do think, yeah, they were a little excessive with, you know, the dry humping and everything going on. But at the same time, like, I also don't knock it. Like, I feel like he needed that. And because she was so desperate for him, he was just like, fuck it. Let me go for it. And I also find this dynamic to be different than the one with Aaron and Kaylor, because Serena wasn't giving him much to commit to and much to work with. Serena, yeah, she did keep saying, I'm this slow burn. But like, when were we going to pick it up? Because we're not in the real world with all the time in the world. We are limited. And so if there's only a few weeks left and you're still at this point where you don't want to kiss me, you don't want to cuddle with me in bed, you don't want to progress with me, then I might have to move on or you're going to rob me of my entire Love Island experience because there's only so much time left. And so I feel like, yes, I understood her being upset because, you know, she's just like, damn, this is what always happens and this is why I'm a slow burn. I'm a slow burn because every guy that I've ever let, you know, given a chance to does this shit to me. And so I understood where that pain was coming from. But at the same time, I do feel like Cordell was kind of justified in the choices that he made because, you know, why wait around all this time when we don't have that much time to waste in the first place? So yeah, no, there's definitely no comparison of what Cordell did with Daya to what Aaron did with Daniela. Like, I just don't see them on the same level. I think Aaron owed Kaylor way more than Cordell owed Serena. And there was also just such a difference in how the men handled it. Like I mentioned, I feel like Aaron kept trying to turn it around and be like, you gotta get over it, or whatever. And then Cordell was so genuine and so emotional with Serena, and like, he really was trying. He never once invalidated her feelings the way that Aaron kept invalidating Kaylor's feelings. He kept saying that she was right. He kept saying that she was understood. He was fighting for her. I mean, that man was actually chasing her. We literally saw him running after her down the dock. Like, he was chasing her and pursuing her in every sense of the word. Physically, literally, emotionally, metaphorically, like, he was going for it. He made it so clear that he was going to do whatever it took to win her back. That is doing what needs to be done. He didn't come back and say, I love you. He didn't come back and ask her to be his girlfriend. He fought for her. He chased her. He proved himself to her. And then after all of that, he asked her to close off. He didn't even put a title on it. He just said, let's close this shit off. No more girls for me. No more guys for you. Let's just focus on our relationship and progressing. So I think that he did it so right. And I think that's why they won. Maybe they also won because his brother is famous and posted about it and it helped with their votes, whatever. But even without that, I think they deserved the win. I think their dynamic was real. It showed growth. It showed progression. I love that they were in it from day one together to the end. Like, I just feel like their dynamic was the most real in a non-toxic way. Because people always look at the toxic dynamics as like so relatable, been there, done that, but I don't think that what they went through was toxic. I feel like it was real and they handled it in the most mature and healthy manner that they can, with the exception of Serena being a little too angry at times. I do think like the flipping the food and the screaming and all that is a little much. I'm really not into that. I think that you can always compose yourself better. But you know what? Like, if that's how she handles anger and frustration at this point in time in her life, so be it. She didn't do anything too crazy. I think she was validated in that. Even though it was a bit much, I still feel like she's young and she didn't do anything outwardly crazy. She wasn't like super toxic toward him. I just think that it was the way that she was internalizing things, how they were presenting themselves. You know, like, she was internalizing major frustration. So him coming near her was her, like, not wanting him near her at all. So she just smacked the plate. She didn't take food and throw it at him. She didn't take the plate and chuck it at his head. I don't even know if she knew that the plate of food was gonna, like, smash all over his body like that. I think she just internally wanted him away from her and wanted her space, so she put her hand back. And so, yeah, the plate of food went all over him. Granted, that wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't nice. But I think it was just, like, her reaction. And so she just lifted her hand and it went all over him, which was not great. But I don't think it was intentionally, like, supposed to be that bad. I also think the yelling, that is sometimes a trauma response. You know, sometimes people feel unheard, and the only way for them to feel heard is by raising their voice and being the louder person in the conversation. So if I scream at you, then it'll make my point clearer. Again, not the best thing, but also not the worst thing. As she wasn't saying awful things to him, which is worse, you know, like, I think it's what you say, you know. So if she was saying terrible things to him, okay, maybe he should back away. But she was just really, really, really expressing her pain. And so, yes, sometimes I think for you to feel heard and validated, you need to just, like, raise your voice, which isn't the healthiest, but it's what happens. And I think she's young and she's gonna grow out of that. So I really think that they deserved the win. I was so, so, so happy for them. And yeah, those are all my feelings on Love Island Season 6. So thank you girls so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this early release surprise episode. Remember, we have an episode next week on August 5th. We have an episode the week after that on August 12th. We are skipping August 19th because we put this one out. And then when I'm back from Italy, August 26th, I will have a recap. Until next time, girls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.